time. That's myemploymentoptions.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin,
tweet, tweet,
rock,
tweet,
rock, rockin' Robin,
tweet,
tweet, tweet. Blow rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock tonight.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise or loud, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go. Rockin' Robin,
oh yeah. How about a little Rockin' Robin to get the juices flowing? That was Bobby Day, a great song. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you so much for joining us. It is Wednesday, April the 10th. We have a lot going on. In a few minutes, Neville Cramer. He's a former border agent. He is now a worldwide security consultant. He is going to join us. We are going to talk about the impending impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Chief. Is it the right thing to do? Will it make any difference in our southern border chaos? We'll talk with him about it in just a few minutes. And National Public Radio, NPR, taken to task by one of its editors for its total lack of diversity, its one-sided reporting. We're going to give you all the details. They really got smacked around by this guy. And speaking about diversity, the State Department has a new diversity chief. Yeah. He has called America a failed historical model. Now, can you imagine some guy in our State Department publicly saying something like that? Speaking about diversity or lack of it, the board game Scrabble has come out with what is called a more inclusive and less competitive version. We're going to tell you about that as well, so stay tuned for both of those stories. And speaking about board games, in our ultimate top 10 at the end of the show, the top 10 all-time most popular board games. Let's see if your favorite is on the list. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Gentlemen, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I direct you to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You get a great haircut. You get a great price. You get a great ambiance. It is located in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 in Dunedin. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, anything to do with the tree, I tell you, I've used them. They're terrific. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service, Arbor Life. Call for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. Well, we have just come out this morning with the March inflation figures. And to nobody's surprise, inflation has accelerated in March for the third straight month, keeping prices painfully high for millions of Americans, likely delaying any interest rate cut by the feds. The Labor Department said today, the Consumer Price Index, which is a measure of the price of everyday things that you buy, including food, gas, rent, all of that went up about 0.4% in March from the previous month, from February. Prices climbed 3.5% from the same time last year. I think we mentioned the other day on the show, our prices for going to the grocery store now are 40% higher than they were a year ago. That scares me. Or was it 40% higher than when Trump left? It might have been 40% higher than when Trump left. I'm sorry. Make that 40% higher than when Donald Trump left office as president. But that's really scary. Other parts of this new report also pointed to stubborn price hikes
or price pressures within the economy, core prices, which exclude the more volatile measurements of food and energy, which really go up and down, core prices climbed 0.4%, as it did in January and February. So the report is not good, and I think the stock market this morning is reflecting that. It has dropped quite a bit. By the way, speaking about money, I hate to be so negative to start off the show, but inflation has made the cost of just about everything, including retirement, more expensive. A new study, this is from Northwestern Mutual, you know, the big insurance firm, they found that the magic number that Americans believe they need to have in order to retire comfortably, listen to this, Ed, the magic number to retire comfortably now, $1.46 million. You got to have $1.46 million to retire comfortably. How many people have that much as they move towards retirement, right? The figure represents a nearly 15% jump from what it was in 2023, 15%. So it's a hell of a lot of money to retire. Over the past 5 years, Americans' magic number has surged 53% from what was the retirement figure in 2020. In 2020, you needed about $951,000 to call it quits.
And at the same time, they're giving money away to people to forgive their loans.
Oh, of course.
You know,
I got a question
for you.
Yeah, you know what? Somebody always pays it.
Well, I know, but here's the thing. According to the Biden camp, that the economy's wonderful, doing great, interest rates are coming down, prices are coming down, many, many jobs are available, many jobs, hundreds of thousands of jobs have been added, and there are many jobs to be had out there. If that's the case, why do students need to have their loans repealed?
Oh, I know.
They can't find a job. They can't go out and get a job. If the jobs are there, why do they have to have their loans dismissed?
Yeah. Actually, you know, the number of full-time jobs has gone down. It's the part-time jobs
exactly.
that have increased.
It is.
And another thing that's scary, the number of manufacturing jobs in this country have decreased.
Who didn't go to college and work? Unless your parents were rich, you went to college and you worked.
I had to work while I was going to school. I don't know how many different jobs I had. I had about two or three different jobs while I was in college to help. Now, of course, when I was going to college, you only needed, maybe $2,000 total. Today, it's $150,000. Mm. It's unbelievable. I feel so sorry for people that have to go into college today. Plus, I'm not sure they're getting a good education.
No, they're not.
I mean, I would not go to college right now. I wouldn't. Even if I could have afforded it, I'm beginning to think it would have been better to go into the job market. It's kind of a scary scenario. It really is. It is. Anyway, let's do this. Let's take our break. And when we come back, I can't wait to talk with Neville Kramer. He's a former border agent. He's now a worldwide security consultant. We're going to talk with him about the impending impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal. You get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Wednesday, excuse me, and we're delighted to have an old buddy of ours, Neville Kramer, joining us. Neville is a former INS agent. He's now a worldwide security consultant, goes all over the place, help businesses with security issues. He knows what he talks about when we talk about what is going on with the immigration situation. He had a great book, Immigration Chaos, came out several years back. I think it's still available. And it's never more relevant than it is today. Neville, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Paul, thanks for having me on the show again.
Always
a pleasure. Looking forward to talking to you about the nonsense here.
Yeah. Well, since you and I decided to speak about the, I guess we'll call it impending impeachment vote on Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, they have postponed the vote. They were going to do it today. Not that he's enjoying any respite. I see that they're holding him under fire right now as I look on the television about the border crisis. But Republican senators have convinced the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, to delay the delivery of two impeachment articles until next week. And they cite concerns that the Senate Democrats would look to quickly dismiss this thing once the trial starts in the upper chamber. They think that if they wait until next week to do this, Schumer can't, just send all of the troops from the Senate home for the weekend after the impeachment vote in the House. So what's your thought, first of all, if I might ask you, Neville, is this going to make, is impeachment discussion about Mayorkas going to make one bit of difference with the southern border?
No. Absolutely not. To say it's a waste of time is an understatement. Just all we have to do is ask ourselves one question regarding this whole thing. First of all, it's not Mayorkas who should be impeached. It's Biden.
Yeah.
But, he's the president of the United States. He's the one that's giving the orders. If he is, in fact, either that or impeach the Obama people that, have the puppet. His puppet.
The puppet masters.
The puppet masters. Anyway, just ask ourselves one important question. After we impeach Mayorkas, if in fact he goes to trial and is convicted and removed from his job, which isn't going to happen because obviously the Senate is run by the Democrats, ask ourselves one question. Who's next? What person is going to be put into Mayorkas' place that isn't going to do the same thing? We don't know. And if you don't know who's coming after Mayorkas, then why are we going through all this? Because you're just going to get the same thing, and they're just going to continue with the same policy.
Yeah.
And this whole thing is going to be a complete waste of time. And what are you going to do? You're going to destroy Mayorkas' next job or his curriculum vitae? Or what are you going to do to the guy? I mean, he's just going to lose his job, and the Dems are going to give a job somewhere else.
Yeah, they always go to a lobbying firm or they end up on some liberal network, don't they? They become a talking head. Probably make more money there anyway.
Yeah, he's probably looking forward to it.
These days, I don't blame him. But what do you think about the, I guess I would call them the optics? In other words, even if this is not going to accomplish anything, the concept of putting this out in front of America this year, an election year, serves the purpose of those that want to elect somebody that would be more of a border enforcer. In other words, any kind of publicity on this is good possibly for the Republicans.
Maybe. That's a good point, but I don't think the public right now even knows who Alejandro Mayorkas is or what his background is or what he really does. I mean, they keep putting this name out there that this is the guy responsible for the border and the border crisis, and it's he's a, like I said earlier, I mean, this guy is just a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the public really follows it that closely. They follow what's going on the border. They know that immigration is a massive problem, and they're showing up in their towns and their cities, but to actually make the connection between Mayorkas and what's going on with the criminals and the rapes and the robberies and the migrant crush that's hitting these major cities, I don't think they're making the connection and blaming it on him.
Yeah.
Like I say, I think it's a waste. I will say this, that I think Biden, when he first started to open the border, that they were trying, or the White House was trying to, I mean, basically change the demographic makeup of America. And the whole thing got completely out of hand. They didn't realize what was actually going to happen. They didn't realize the efficiency of the Mexican cartels. And all of a sudden, we've got 10.5 million or 9.5 million people that don't belong here. And I don't know whether people are going to look the other way because of abortion or whatever issue they arise. I we'll have to wait and see. But right now, this country's got some really huge problems, and that's one of them.
Oh, that it's one of the top three. The economy, I guess you would call it maybe overall. Security, walking down the street, you know, police and crime, I guess, is the other topic. And then the border. I think abortion is about the eighth or ninth. Now, for a Democrat, abortion might be number one or number two.
But for number one.
Yeah, or number one and number one. And they're going to make a huge case of it. Here in Florida, as you know, we're going to probably have a ballot measure that will give Floridians the opportunity to decide whether or not to extend the number of weeks to allow an abortion to 15. It currently is around 6, I believe. So it will be an issue here in Florida. Now, whether that's going to make any difference, Florida's become very red. And from what I have read, the number of Republicans that are being signed up in the state far outnumber the number of Democrats being signed up. So it sounds like it's not going to get... It sounds like in Florida, it's still going to go red, you know, as far as the presidential. But
but Florida's not the ones that count.
No,
Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin,
right.
Arizona, Nevada.
Yep.
These are the ones that. And look at what's going to happen in Arizona. I lived out there for years. That vote about abortion in Arizona could upset the apple cart out there, even with the border problem.
Now, that surprised me a little bit. Now, that was a Republican legislature, but they've got a Democrat, I think, a Democratic governor and two Democratic senators, if I'm not mistaken, there right now. So that was, to me, a bit of a surprise that they were able to push through that rather conservative abortion law. It's basically banning abortion, isn't it?
I think it goes back to 1913,
mm-hmm.
1923 or 1913 law. They just put that back into effect. Yeah, it's not conservative. It's enormously restrictive.
It seems to be.
So, but anyway, that's this just what we're talking about right now is fascinating because you would think that with the border situation and immigration, everything else, it's in the paper every day. It's the number one issue, number of the top three. That the Republicans would be, you know, taking over the country in 6 months. It's not going to happen. This thing is so tight and so close because of these issues that are in on everybody's minds. I have no idea which way this thing is going to go.
I think you may be right about that. We're talking with Neville Kramer. He is—he knows what he's talking about when it comes to the border. He worked down, I think it was Eagle Pass, Texas, Neville, for quite a few years, where we had a lot of border intrusion until the Texas governor decided to throw a whole bunch of razor wire along the Rio Grande down there and keep people from crossing. He's a security consultant around the world, helping companies with security issues. So,
Paul, I would like to say something. I'd like to say, first of all, thank you for your comments about the book and your comment about the contents of the book. But I just want you to know, I spent 11 months in Eagle Pass, Texas, and I wrote in the book that when I saw Eagle Pass, Texas in my rearview mirror for the last time, it was the best day of my life. So,
and that was how many years ago, right?
That was 1976.
Wow. Wow.
And it hasn't changed much.
I was going to ask you, other than here's another thing, and you may know more, I'm sure you know more about it than I do. Why is the Biden administration allowing fly-ins, mainly to places like Miami, of Nicaraguans, Haitians, and other, and I think Venezuelans? Did you know that we're getting an inordinate amount of aliens flying in? Apparently, they don't want to make a big deal out of it. Washington doesn't, but Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has brought it up, and it seems like it's like the Biden administration is intentionally trying to completely overflow our country with illegal immigrants. Your thought on that?
Trying to overflow the state of Florida, first of all.
That's true.
You can't stand the governor. And ever since they planted, a few hundred of them on Obama's porch up there in Martha's Vineyard, they've gone ballistic over what the governor's doing. This is 325,000, I understand, somewhere around there, 325,000 of the 385,000 that are being brought in. They're completely abusing the parole versions of the law. And by the way, when I was in the Immigration Service, parole was used by, very, very infrequently. And now it's being used nationwide to give these people not only the right to be here, but work authorization, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to have a tough time in this state assimilating all these people.
I would think.
The governor might think he's going to be able to bust them all out of here, but that's an awful lot of people to start. 325,000 people is going to be enormous for us to assimilate those people into this state.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot see how anybody that goes to the polls in November wouldn't have the border on their mind if they were an American that wanted security in our country. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. It would seem to me it would be an overriding issue when I'm making my decision. But
yeah.
But like you said, you look at the numbers and it's amazingly close. Now, I know, and you know, that there are people that would never vote for Donald Trump. It wouldn't make any difference if he was the second coming. They wouldn't vote for him because they just don't like him. And it doesn't make any difference what he could do. And that's all. Maybe almost half the country. I don't know. But I can't. Normally, it would seem to me that almost anything, including a fire hydrant, would get more votes than Biden.
You would think, but that's not the way it is. I'm amazed at the number of people I talk to who support him, support Biden 100%.
Yeah.
I was down in near Mar-a-Lago the other day, and it's incredible. And by the way, I would like to add something. This is not just the border. We've talked about this a lot over the years. I appreciate being on your show, but Paul, the people of the United States have to understand that the entire immigration system of this country is collapsed. This isn't just the border. This is, like they say, every city's a border city and every state's a border state. That's the semantics of it. But the reality of it is this entire system of immigrating people, legal and illegal, into the United States is collapsed. It's falling apart.
You're absolutely right. And it's been getting worse, and you've seen it, of course. You've had a bird's eye view of it, and you have talked, like in your book, Immigration Chaos. By the way, Immigration Chaos is the book. Is it still available on Kindle or any of those?
Kindle version on Amazon, it's available, yeah. And
I highly recommend it. It's just as appropriate today.
Yeah. I'm going to be talking to one of the chapters. I read it, and it was as if I'd be a millionaire if it came out today.
It would. Oh, my goodness. So, but you have had, and I'm sure in the book you talked about it, some of the things that you have go over briefly some of the things you have recommended in terms of the overall immigration chaos situation we've had over these years.
Yeah. Well, first of all, people have to understand that the creation of Homeland Security was a disaster when it came to immigration. We took an agency that was a stepchild of the Justice Department, and it was useless, and we made it even more useless. So the one thing, because this is a huge issue to the future of this country, both legal and illegal immigration, we need to have a cabinet-level agency. Now, I'm not talking about creating more bureaucracy. I want to take the portions of immigration that exist in the State Department and the Justice Department and the Labor Department and Homeland Security, make it one agency, and their function is to control legal and illegal immigration into the United States, including visa issuance overseas, border patrol, and all of that, into one major agency, give them the resources they need, and then take the process of legal and illegal, especially legal immigration, and create a Federal Reserve situation where we have a committee or that meets, and it's non-political, apolitical. They decide how many aliens we're going to bring into the country, how many, what visas are going to be available, et cetera, et cetera. These are things that nobody ever talks about. Another thing we have to do is we have to set up the border so that we have enormous capabilities of detention. If you catch 5,000 people on that border, you have the capacity to detain them. If you catch 100,000 people, you can detain them. Because we've known from studies on that border several times over the last 50 years that detention is the biggest deterrent to further illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Those people can't get in here, can't get a job, can't get work, can't send money back home. The vast majority of them would never come here.
They're great ideas. And then you've also talked about how what is that thing that, and I it escapes the name of it escapes my mind.
E-Verify.
Yes, the E-Verify system when it comes to hiring. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. That's a system that I helped create. We need that. The governor is very supportive. You come down I-95, you'll see that there's an E-Verify sign on I-95. But I will tell you this, that you have to be very careful, because Biden, behind everyone's back, the Biden administration has done things to weaken E-Verify, and it is not working as well as it should.
Yeah.
Because the people can't get the documents that they need.
Okay.
And if you have the right to work in this country, they can't take it away from you. And right now, using E-Verify, those people could be taking away jobs from people who have the right to work. And that's not on the other side of the spectrum. That's not right either.
But the overall philosophy or idea behind it was a way of verifying the eligibility of the people to work in this country. Is that right?
Absolutely. Okay. Exactly. Yes. And do it. So it's automated and
yes,
it's verifiable. The employer is not making the decision. The government is making
the
decision.
Neville Kramer, it is always a pleasure. I always learn something from you when you come on. You've always been so great over the years to talk with us about what's going on. And I know we'll be talking again a little bit later this year. And I appreciate your time, and the best to you.
You bet. I appreciate it, Paul. Nice being with you. Ed, good morning to you, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Neville.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Neville Kramer. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, NPR, National Public Radio, taken to task by one of its own for its total lack of diversity, its one-sided reporting. We're going to give you all the details.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Wednesday. Thank you so very much for being with us. So, I haven't been watching NPR for quite a while. National Public Radio, watching it, listening to it. There's also PBS, which is the television version. But an NPR editor has really blown the whistle on NPR and its biased coverage. He says, first of all, that the disparity between Democrats and Republicans that work in the newsroom, listen to this, 87-0. There isn't one Republican, he says, that works in the NPR newsroom. His name is Uri Berliner. He's a senior business editor there. He's not going to be there long if he's still there, but he penned a rebuke of NPR, his own outlet. It was in the Free Press. It was yesterday. He criticizes NPR for telling listeners and readers how to think through a progressive worldview, as he calls it. He pointed in particular to its flawed coverage of the Hunter Biden laptop, of Russiagate, of the COVID lab leak theory. He also claimed NPR's leadership and its reaction to the George Floyd killing back in 2020 was to declare systemic racism was a given, and our mission, meaning NPR, our mission was to change it. So he said the lack of viewpoint diversity had spilled over into how NPR covered things like the Israeli-Gaza war. And then they even avoided terms there at NPR like biological sex in its reporting. So there you go. I mean, this is something that most people knew already existed if you ever listened to NPR. But it's even worse, you know.
But here's the thing, Paul. We, and I think we're of the normal species out there. If we don't like it, we just change the channel. Now, what the idiots and the whack jobs do is they complain with an email and get everything changed. In other words, the View is a bunch of... they were talking about the eclipse the other day. And how that was part of global warming. And the things that they had, what's the ugly ugly daughter of Hillary and Bill? What's her name? She was on there, and she was talking about Trump, and he said he's going to start a bloodbath. And this, you know what? Just change the channel.
Yeah. The only thing, though, Ed, is that NPR is funded by tax dollars.
That's
which
the difference.
Drives me
yes.
crazy. There is no... As somebody once told me, if government can fund TV and radio stations, what can it not fund? Mm. And I thought that was an excellent point. I don't think NPR should be funded at all.
No.
They talk about the fact that viewers and listeners can send money, but they're still getting a take from the government. And it's wrong. Anyway, we got our buddy, the master barber, Andrew Ceresi, joining us. And Andrew, I don't know what particular topic you'd like to talk about, but are you a fan of NPR radio?
No. No, not you know, Paul.
What?
This is probably the only radio station I listen to other than 107.3 Rock.
That's why you're so intelligent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones. But, you know, I'm sitting here today, and I was reading about the basketball coach there from South Carolina, I guess it was, undefeated. Says
yes.
It's okay for the men to compete. You know,
for
women.
For trans,
women,
you're talking about transgender competition.
Right, right. Yes. Women amaze me because I do not understand why all these women in these sports fields are not sticking together and banding together and saying, listen, we're not going to play no sports. Now you can have a transgender league. I mean, when my wife wants something, she is on me all day, all day, all day, until I give in. Now, why are these women, so-called women power, we're this, we're strong. Why aren't they sticking together to take care of that one problem? Okay?
You would think that women would be outraged overall about anything like
right.
this.
Well, now, the women in basketball and the trans that want to join might be an even field, if you think of it. No, because the women in basketball are big. They have to, most of them have to be big to play, right?
Yes.
So if you get a trans that goes in there and is only 6 foot, it could get his butt kicked.
I've never heard of that. I'm still waiting for the first. Is there any woman that could dunk?
I didn't see one.
Maybe donuts.
Yeah, but if you get a transgender woman team or player,
you know what I'm saying? Okay, look at the swim, the girls' bat. What was it? The girls' basketball, high school. The difference in the size of the trans that was in there and the high school girl. It was a little girl.
Yeah, you're talking about swimming now, not basketball.
Okay, or even the swimming.
Or is it basketball? Okay. Anyway,
and what if you took that same trans person, that dude that was 6 foot? Opposed to the girl that was 5'4 and 120 pounds, well, put that trans in with the women's, and that's an even matchup.
Well, look at even so you put the men
you're all for trans. Ed's all for transgender women in basketball.
They're picking where they go.
Yeah.
And I'm being serious here. They're picking where they go. You don't see them going against professional women. Of that size.
I see what you're saying.
They want to go against the high school girls. And there's a big disadvantage in high school. I'm sorry.
I like the idea of a transgender league. I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean,
no, I agree with you 100%. Let them do their own thing.
Yeah, let them do their own thing.
They can have the men cheerleaders, everything else.
They can have everything they want.
Come on, aren't we doing enough? They got their own month. For crying out loud, that we all got to celebrate. And I'm not, we're doing enough.
I would think, anyway, that a biological woman would not want a man that has turned himself partly into a woman in a competition where it could affect her career.
Well, Serena Williams wouldn't play a championship match against a man that said he's transgendered.
Did she say that?
No, she didn't. She backed out of it. She wouldn't play.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Okay. I don't blame her.
Don't blame her one bit. Another thing with this abortion stuff. Let the states put it on their freaking ballots. Forget the politicians deciding. Let the people decide what they want to do in each state on the ballots, mm-hmm. Period. Okay, now the playing field for the election is all equal.
It's called a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's a compromise. But they don't want to compromise.
Nobody does. That's the problem today.
Now, Donald Trump has said that he believes and agrees that the states should make the decision.
Yes.
And not the federal government. And I think
most people
will go along with that. Here's the thing. If all the states, and this is just from a political viewpoint, if all the states have that on the ballot, it would affect the vote when it came to the November elections. For instance, we know in Florida, there's a very good chance, or maybe it's already a given, they're going to have a referendum on whether or not to extend the number of weeks from 6 to 15. Okay? And I would suggest that it's probably going to pass. It will bring out more people that might vote for Biden in this state.
I don't think it's going to do that, Paul. Because right. Abortion is one thing and immigration is another. People could be for abortion, but totally against the immigration. Put it on the ballot. Let the people decide.
Yes,
that simple.
I think that's going to be the case in quite a few states.
Now, here's another thing you got to think about. You guys were talking about the economy and how that the manufacturing jobs just weren't there, right?
Yeah, they're certainly not there anymore.
Let me tell you something. Without manufacturing in this country, the economy will collapse, period.
It
has no choice.
For generations, it's been the foundation of our success.
The strength of this country was based on its ability to produce,
correct.
Period. That's what made us strong.
That's exactly
right. We no
right.
longer produce anything but a bunch of young morons, and they aren't going to make the economy strong, mm-hmm. believe me. The economy will fall without industry in this country. We can't all be in the service industry. There is no way, no how.
What was it, the 70s and 80s when everything went to Japan?
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get that back.
Yeah, in the 70s is when all of a sudden we started importing Japanese cars.
Yes.
That's right.
And that opened the floodgates. That was around
1974.
That opened the floodgates.
That was around 1974.
They made a cheaper car that was just as good as ours. And we opened the floodgates, and we started buying Japanese cars.
And all the electronics and everything was made in Japan.
And all the electronics were made in Japan. And all of a sudden, here we go. And we started losing our manufacturing base right then.
I had a customer come to my shop. He's Puerto Rican. And he was telling me how good the economy was just before I came on the show. And I just started laughing at him. I says, you're telling me the economy is good. You just lost your job selling mortgages. Now you're going to truck driving school to try and learn how to drive trucks. The economy is good. He couldn't say nothing, Paul.
Yeah. Well, he was an optimist. Maybe because when he was in Puerto Rico, you know what I mean, he could see the difference. I mean, we got people flocking in here. The problem is when we allow people to flock in here, it changes the dynamic of why they were coming.
That's right. And, you know, if we didn't stop giving them everything, they wouldn't be coming here. Believe me, they can have an open border, but if they were going to get a free ride, believe me, they wouldn't be coming to this border.
This goes all the way back to, exactly, it goes back to the fact that we should not be having any kind of a government giveaway of anything.
You know,
of anything.
There's a big difference between the border just being open and the fact that the border is open and will pay you to be
That's
here.
That's right. That's he's making.
Who wouldn't want that? I mean...
If you had to come here and you got no free health care, you had to, you know, and the government didn't run it, and the government didn't hand out welfare checks, and the government didn't hand out green stamps and food stamps and everything else. If the government gave you nothing but the opportunity to come here and work hard and make something of yourself, we wouldn't have the border issue that we have to some extent, right, Andrew?
You know, Paul, I sit there and I laugh because they say, well, you know, these people are coming here to do the jobs that the Americans don't want to do. Well, first of all, we spoiled this other generation that's below us, okay? Number one, if these young people couldn't make money, they'd be picking apples, all right? I mean, instead of going to McDonald's getting $20 an hour minimum wage, which was a job for high school kids when we were young, now they make it a career. That tells you how bad the economy is.
Yeah. And this is all being driven, coordinated, whatever you want to call it, by the government. You know,
that's right.
Governmental mandatory minimum wages, whether it's a state mandatory or a federal mandatory or whatever. It's just the complete intrusion of a handful of people that don't even do the jobs.
You know, there's another thing we bring up. That we go to the $20 an hour and... We all did it in high school. We worked at the fast food or the grocery store, bagging groceries or whatever. How many kids are dropping out of school in California because they're now making $20 an hour?
That's right.
Why go to school?
It's amazing what's going on. I do not see, you know, the jobs went up last month, but they didn't tell you that the jobs went up because of government jobs.
And you could.
That's right. It was government jobs and part-time jobs that went up.
Would that
manufacturing jobs? No, and full-time jobs went down.
And let me ask you one question: if we do not have manufacturing to produce revenue in this country, where are they going to get the money to pay these government jobs?
We could. Well, you know what that we're doing? We're borrowing and we're printing. That's what. We have no foundation for it anymore. We borrow and we print. And, well, and one day, and one day, it's going to collapse. We all know that.
When was the last time you heard the government, either side, say, you know what, we can't do that project that we want to do because we just don't have the money?
No, I never heard them say that.
It's okay. We do that, then give me this, and I'll give you that.
Yeah,
and just print more money.
Yeah.
You never had. So we used to run out of other people's money.
We just print it.
Right. Sitting down at the table, honey, I don't want to buy a new car. Well, honey, we can't afford a new car. Well, we can't afford to go out three nights a week.
Right.
So we just cut back.
That's exactly right.
I took my wife out for her birthday yesterday, and when I had to pay $41 for two drinks, I says, "This."
Oh my God!
You've got to be out of your mind.
Is that right? $41 for two drinks? How big were those drinks?
But bon appetit. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Well,
I sat with her outside the bar, or the outside bar, $41 for two drinks.
Unbelievable. I would have gone to Coke and seltzer water myself.
Now, listen.
It was probably $20.
I was going to say it's about half
No knock against Bon Appetit, but that's what Bon Appetit is. Okay, they're on the water there. There's the sunset and everything, and the tiki bar, and they're going to charge you extra.
Oh my goodness!
Next time, call me. We'll send you to Hurricane Eddie's or something like that. You know?
I got the water on the side of my house. I got the tiki bar. I got the umbrellas, and I got the music.
There you go.
I buy my own bottle, and I stay home and drink. And I get to watch the sunset, too. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you're the man. It is a pleasure, as always, Andrew. Thank you so much, my friend, for calling in. I look forward to talking with you, hopefully, on Friday.
You guys take care. Have a good day.
Same to you, buddy. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, the top 10 all-time greatest board games.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. You can listen to us live. But if you want to listen at your leisure, thanks to Big Ed, go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows. Most recent show at the top. Bless him. And you'll know who the guest is, and you'll know what the topic with the guest is, and you'll know what the top 10 is. OurFreedomWorks.com. Real quick, Ed, you ever play Scrabble?
I have.
Okay.
I have.
There's a new version coming out.
Yeah.
It'll be released in Europe. For the first time in 75 years, the updated rendition is aimed at Generation Z. The president said that research found that younger people don't like the competitive nature of Scrabble as much as older adults do. So they're going to have a easier and more inclusive.
So they,
more easier and more inclusive
they,
game.
No, let's call it what it is. They dummied it down.
They've dummied it down.
So the word cat, they're going to spot you the C and the T.
They're actually going to give you help. In the simpler version, cards will provide help, including prompts and clues that can be selected to match the player's chosen challenge level. To win, the player must complete the 20 challenges and loses if he uses all the helper cards and can't complete his goal. So there you go. All right. Ed, speaking of board games, it is time for our top 10. These are the top 10 all-time most popular board games. It comes from fun.com. All right? And we're even going to tell you the year that the game was founded.
Mm.
This will be fun. Here we go. Number 10. Rummy Cube.
I don't remember that one.
It's a game that has a board and you shake a shaker and you drop dice. Anyway, more than 50 million units were sold of Rummy Cube over the years. Number 9. Candyland?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Candyland. That's been around a long time. More than 50 million units of Candyland have been sold. Number 8. Number 8 is a game I used to play for quite a while, but I haven't played in a long time. Backgammon.
You know, I never learned that game.
Oh, it was, it's a fun game. It really is. I enjoyed it. More than 88 million people, or 88 million units of the modern version have been sold. Number 7. Another game I play, it at the bar every Tuesday night, Trivial Pursuit. Now, Trivial Pursuit, more than 100 million units of that game has been sold. It was started in 1981, by the way. All right. Number 6. Ever hear of Battleship?
Yes.
Battleship, yeah.
One played across from each other,
yes.
And they had the thing and tried to sink the battleship.
You got your little boats.
And you tried to sink the battleship.
That's right. More than 100 million units of Battleship were sold. That game started in 1931, before World War II. Yeah. Number 5. Hey, I played this as a kid. Clue.
Yeah.
Mr. Mustard in the library with the hammer or whatever.
Candlestick, yeah.
The candlestick, that's it. That was game was founded in 1949. Yeah. Number 4. Speak of the devil, Scrabble. More than 150 million units sold. Scrabble was first brought out in 1938. Okay. Number 3. Another great one, Monopoly.
I thought that was at the top.
You did?
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
No, I said I thought it'd be the top.
You
said
the top. Best. I'm sorry. I thought you said it was tough.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of the great ones. Number 3, more than 275 million units
now,
sold.
Have you played the electronic version?
I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. You got like a bank card.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to mess with the money
anymore.
Have
to look for that one. Number 2. Well, you knew this had to be here somewhere. Checkers.
Yep.
Everybody's played checkers. 50 billion units sold since its introduction. By the way, it was introduced, some of them, I don't know how they figured it out, 3000 BC.
Mm.
Okay, Ed, what do you think is the number one all-time most popular board game?
Checkers is there. Chess has got to be above it.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Now, and it's not bingo. It is chess.
Chess,
the all-time greatest game ever sold. Total number of units is unknown, but more than 3 million units are sold yearly. You know when it was introduced? They figured out in the year 1200.
You know, in high school, I joined the chess club, and I found out that there's like two moves, and you can instantaneously, I think it's within two or three moves, you can instantaneously get checkmate. And I went. I played the top guy, and he.
I bet you had to open up the bishop.
And I did it.
Wow.
And I did it. And I went right to the top.
Really?
And then I quit. Went out on top.
In the move, was it a diagonal move with the bishop?
I have to look it up. It has something to do with
the bishop.
Has something to do with that, where you just box him in real quick. It's within the third move, I believe.
Wow. Oh, there you go. All right, thank you so much for listening. We will be back on Friday. Everybody be good, be safe, and remember, freedom works. Everybody go away.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick.